Good morning. It is so good to see you. I'm so thrilled that you're here this morning, that we're here together, that those participating online are joining us as well. And I bring to you greetings from your brothers and sisters in Homer and in Kodiak, where we've been for the last little over a week, getting to work with the churches there and the communities there, getting to connect with the leadership in each of those congregations. And it's exciting to see the growth that is happening in different places throughout Alaska and getting to participate in that watering of them. Kodiak is one of the places we've been trying to connect to over the last few years, and one of our goals is helping develop leadership in different congregations, and we've been helping network and connect preachers and missionaries to go out to different places. And Kodiak, starting in January, Brandon Ahrens was at one point one of our interns up here, ended up getting planted there in Kodiak, and recently got married last month and is doing really good there, and getting to work with them and encourage them was great. He's going to be coming up here in about a week and a half to help us with the youth retreat, the Midnight Sun Bible Camp, and just continuing to connect and weave together, be woven together by God is a beautiful thing. It's exciting to see it developing as the Lord's hand is upon these things. So I wanted to share with you just their greetings. They send much appreciation and gratitude for us being sent down there by all to connect with them. And I wanted to bring back to you their warm hearts and their love to you. It's a powerful and beautiful and even practical thing for the churches to be connected on like a regional level, for each congregation to be autonomous, where we're not telling other congregations what to do, but for us to have an awareness of each other and for us to serve together and to serve one another and to support one another. That type of dynamic is very, very beautiful and powerful and practical. And which is leading me to talk about this lesson for this morning, which is filled for us living a Spirit-filled life, that we are people looking to be filled with the Spirit and to let the Spirit then overflow out of our lives into those around us. And I look at the church in Acts when it seems just unstoppable and just growing so much, and there's this theme throughout it that is repeated. It's this idea and the presence of the Holy Spirit and people being filled with the Holy Spirit, being comforted by the Holy Spirit, and this element of church growth. And talking about church growth, which is something that I'm very passionate about, is I've heard over the years the idea that persecution is like the key ingredient for Christianity to grow and to spread. You look at history, and you see when the church was really under a lot of pressure, it was under that pressure that things really heated up and the church really grew. And you see that in Acts, and you see that on a historical level, that persecution does seem to generate a lot of growth and testing for Christianity. But it's not the only environment in which Christianity can thrive. Because if it's only through persecution, it would be a reasonable thing for people to pray and to request, and I've heard people do this over the years, asking for persecution because they believe things have gotten soft and that maybe we need some real trials and tests to kind of get us back on track. I want us to look at Acts chapter 9, and we're going to see that persecution is not the only environment in which Christianity can thrive. So Acts chapter 9, verse 31, that the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. So I find this scenario here in Alaska parallel and pretty reminiscent to what we're seeing here in Acts 9, where there's this regional unity amongst Christians and churches. And in that environment of peace, it's an environment for there to be growth. And another factor that we're seeing here is walking in the fear of the Lord. And I think that that's a trait that in most churches of Christ, I see quite abundantly, where there is a deep submission and respect to Christ, as it should be. That when Jesus says something, we say, yes, sir. We say, yes, Lord. That we're eager to be obedient to him because he is Lord and we are not. And that is a noble and right attitude and spirit to have. So we have this environment of peace and fellowship with each other, and it's very special with Alaska, with the lectureship, the Bible camps, the things we're doing here together with traveling and encouraging and supporting each other. And we have this, for the most part, this fear of the Lord that we're walking in, where we want to follow Christ. If Christ says something and somebody else says something different, we're going to defer to Christ because he's our Lord, not somebody else. But then this last part of being the comfort of the Holy Spirit, most people don't have a grasp or a way of applying what does that mean. How do you live that? How would you explain that to somebody if they were reading the Bible and said, hey, I'm reading here about being comforted in the Holy Spirit. What is that? How does that happen? There's not as a clear, ready understanding about that as perhaps being at peace with each other, walking in the fear of the Lord. Those seems to come more natural to us in our thinking, but being comforted by the Holy Spirit, I've noticed in other congregations and just in my conversations and discipling of other people and teaching people that being comforted by the Holy Spirit is a more ambiguous, harder to define thing. So this morning, we're going to look at what does it mean to have this in our lives, to be comforted by the Holy Spirit, for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit as Christians. So let's get into it. Why? I want to begin by asking a question of how good and important it is to have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in our lives. Our first passage to answer this question, I want to go to John 16, verse 7. This is Jesus speaking here, preparing to soon be crucified. He's about to leave, and he says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, which is the Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." So I remember reading this for the first time, and it just absolutely blew my mind. Because I could not imagine anything better than having Jesus in the flesh around us. And for us to listen to him and to have that dynamic with him. I just can't imagine anything better than that. But Jesus says here, it's to your advantage. It's better for me to go physically and for me to send the Spirit to you. That dynamic is better. It's to your advantage to have the Holy Spirit than to have me in the flesh. Like that is such an epic declaration to us about how valuable this dynamic with the Holy Spirit is. For those of you that went to the lectureship in the spring where the Churches of Christ get together and the preachers from all the different congregations, we get together and we have a weekend of sermons and classes together. And depending on each year, the format's a little different. And sometimes we'll have like multiple lessons going on at the same time and everything's recorded, but you have to like choose who you're going to listen to. I just imagine like if Jesus was speaking at the lectureship and you had to choose like what speaker are you going to go listen to? You have like Mike, Robert, Lauren, Jesus, like you have different classes. Pretty sure one of those rooms is going to be packed and the rest are going to be totally empty. For good reason, because it's Jesus. But Jesus is saying here that if it's better to have the Holy Spirit than to have me in the flesh, like it's to your advantage. Like I continually reflect on that. And the more I think about it, the more of a profound value and appreciation I have for what Jesus has caused to happen in sending the Spirit to us, because he says it's better. And so I don't want to just lean on my own understanding and think, oh, I just can't think of anything better than listening to Jesus in the flesh. Well, actually, having the Spirit, the way Christ has sent it out, is part of the plan, and it's better than having him here in the flesh. So it's trusting that and then letting that play out in our lives is part of the plan. Which leads us to our next question, or our next part of here. But before we go to our next passage, I do want to make a point that if we don't want to go against God's will, It's Christ's plan to send to have sent the Spirit to us after ascending to heaven. And someone once mentioned to me that the saddest day in human history was when the most innocent man, Jesus, you know, was crucified and executed. That was the saddest day in human history. And he, one of my mentors, he then said the second saddest day was when the Jews sewed the curtain back together after God had torn it apart, because the temple wasn't destroyed for another 30 plus years after Christ's death. And God tore that veil, and that he removed the separation between God and man. And then man trying to weave that separation back into place. The premise, the idea of that is so sad, because it goes directly against God's will. God purposely ripped that curtain in half. And then to veil again his presence, that's one of the most tragic concepts possible to imagine. And I say that because I don't want to deny the advantage that Christ has provided. I don't want to create separations that aren't there anymore. And so I want us to accept what Christ has provided. And one of the many things he's provided is a dynamic now with the Holy Spirit that humanity had not had until Christ and the scheme of redemption that he implemented. So with that being said, now let's go over to Ephesians 5. This is what Luke read for us just a moment ago. So Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 21, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus. So he's talking to Christians, and he's telling them to examine how they're living and to look if they're living in a wise or unwise way. And he then explains that with the wise way of living is to be filled with the Spirit, and the unwise way of living is to be drunk with wine. And it's a really interesting contrast comparing alcohol to being then filled with the Holy Spirit, because the parallels are they're both things that you allow from the outside in, and they both dramatically change a lot of parts, many parts of your life. If you are habitually drinking and drunk, that changes the way you think, it changes the way you talk, it changes the way you act, changes the social settings you put yourself in, the type of friends you have, it changes your finances, it changes your safety, it changes other people's safety around you. There's just a lot of things that get influenced and under the influence of a deep consumption of this substance. The opposite is true with the Spirit, that when we take on the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is then consumed and put, and he is put into us, it changes the way we think and the way we talk and the social settings that we have and the things that we do and the people that are around us and the way we spend our money and the directions we go in life. And so it's something that affects the way that we live, and it's described here as a wise way of living. But it's important to know that this is not talking about exclusively salvation. Remember, Paul is talking to Christians, and he's telling Christians to be filled with the Spirit. So when you are baptized and you are added to the kingdom, added to the church, in Acts 2:38, we see that when you're baptized, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and you now have this connection to the Spirit in a different way. But then what we see here is that you can then be filled with the Spirit. You can also be running empty on this interaction with the Spirit. And so the rest of this lesson is looking to answer the question of how do we then be filled with the Spirit? What is Paul talking about here in instructing the church to go in this direction? How do we be Spirit-filled people? And it's an exciting question to have answered through God's word. So I want us to go through this together. What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? Well, just like to be filled with anything once you're running dry, just like your car running out of gas, you got to go to the gas station. If your car's running out of gas, You don't go to the grocery store and get a gallon of milk and pour it into your gas tank, because that's not what the car runs off of. Some of you mechanics are just like, oh, what a horrible nightmare of like filling your gas tank with, I'm sure you've seen videos of people filling their cars with the wrong thing and just the chaos that can cause. But a car is meant for gas. You and I are designed to house the Holy Spirit, to be the temple of God, to have this connection with the Spirit. It's not like an update to humanity that happened. It's something that we're designed fundamentally to have this dynamic with Him. Some of you have honeybees. My family, growing up, we used to have bees. And something really fascinating about honeybees is that honeybees are designed to consume honey. And they can also eat other things like sugar water and stuff, but there's something really special about a honeybee consuming honey. In fact, the fuel efficiency of a honeybee is so good that off of just a tablespoon of honey, one honeybee can fly around the earth, I believe twice, because it's what it was designed to take in. There's a lot of things you can be filled up with in this life, but there's only one thing you're designed to be filled up with, and that is God's own Spirit. That was the design for humanity to have this dynamic with God. It's why Christ died, to not only forgive us of our sins, but for also for us to have the Spirit and for us to become one with Him. This is what we're designed for. Just like your car is designed to run off of gas, you and I are designed to run off of God, essentially. So to be filled with the Spirit, we have to go where the Spirit is. Okay, that curtain's been torn. We have access to the holy place. We got to go to the holy place. We got to go to where the Spirit is now that we have been given access through Christ. And so we're going to see that it's not some crazy mystical secret where the Spirit is. It's something we all have access to now if we're in Christ. And so let's look where these four gas stations of the Spirit are. The first one is in prayer. So in Acts 8:26-27, we read that, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." So our first gas station is in prayer, is that when we are praying as Christians, the Holy Spirit participates in our prayer as well. There's elements of this that are beyond human understanding, but it's a true fact that the Spirit is involved in our prayer dynamic with God and is working with us and interceding for us, helping us connect and have a clear, pure connection to the Father. I imagine this dynamic of praying to God, and I'll be speaking to God, and I'll say something, and angels and spirits that are present listening to this will go, like, did he really just say that? And the Holy Spirit will like put his hand on my mouth and be like, what he really meant to say was, and then actually helps me have right connection with the Father. So I don't know exactly the intricacies of how the Spirit, how He works in this way. I just know that He does, and I trust that, and that's a blessing, something Jesus provided. And it's a way of having this interaction with the Holy Spirit is through prayer. So our first gas station is our privilege of prayer that Christ has given us. Our next gas station, the second one, is Scripture, God's Word. And we see in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. And then back in John chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus is talking to the apostles, and He tells them that when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you, the apostles, into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. So the things that the apostles taught, they were teaching all truth, and they were teaching it through the direct guidance of the Holy Spirit. So it wasn't just their first edition commentary on the works of Jesus. It was the Holy Spirit working through them. That's why the apostles' teachings are scripture, because it was the Holy Spirit working through them to proclaim that and equip us to this day with God's word. It comes directly from the Holy Spirit. So our second gas station of the Holy Spirit that we can be filled with is God's word. When we reflect on it, when we meditate on it, when we listen, when we seek to understand, we have a hunger and a thirst to learn, we're then taking in the Spirit of God. It's much more than just ink on a page. There's truth in there that then sets us free once we let it sink in to us. So our second gas station is scripture. Our third gas station that Christ has equipped us with is 1 Corinthians 3:16. We see that the third gas station is the church. We see, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? And so the Greek for the word you here is a plural. Paul is talking to the church in Corinth as a whole. So for some of you have heard me say this before. I lived in Texas for a few years, and one of the great words in Texas is y'all. It's a great word. I like the word y'all a lot. So you could even read this accurately with, do y'all not know that y'all are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in all y'all? That's like the big, that's like the super, super Texan word, all y'all. All you all. It's like, whatever. It's a good word. And that the Holy Spirit dwells within Christians. And so when you're hanging out with me, and I'm hanging out with you, and we're both Christians, there's three of us there. Okay, the Holy Spirit is living within you. When we're interacting with each other, the Holy Spirit is also part of that dynamic, which is a really wonderful truth to remember, that the Holy Spirit, He is living within His people. He is producing fruit and character that is the very same nature of God. So here's our three so far: prayer, scripture, and the church. Now there's a fourth gas station of the Holy Spirit, and it's a little different, but it's certainly worth mentioning, and that is nature. So in Genesis 1 and in Romans 1, we see a couple important facts. The first we see in the very beginning that the Holy Spirit's hovering over the waters and that the Spirit is involved and present in the creation of this universe. And in a similar way, Romans 1, especially verse 20, that God's divine attributes can be clearly perceived in the things that have been made. And so nature is in its own way a declaration of the work of the Spirit, the work of God. And it declares the works of His hands, and we can have a resonance with God once we slow down and observe and see clearly an intelligently designed, masterfully done, purposely created universe. And there's something that clarifies by taking time to be in God's creation. Now, I don't want to sound, hold on, let me choose my words carefully. I'm about to say this. There's something to this mountaintop experience. There's something about Jesus going out into the wilderness on top of a mountain into a garden. There's something practical, simple, and wise about taking time to get out of a man-made environment and into a God-made environment. There's something simple and wholesome about that practice. And so on a spiritual, mechanical level, what's taking place there is you're observing the works of His hands. You're listening to what the heavens declare about Him. And that is the workings of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit was there in creation, and His divine attributes are perceived, and the things have been made. So our four gas stations, prayer, scripture, the church, and then to a degree, creation. These are places and environments we can choose to participate in, and in doing so, we begin to then get filled with the Holy Spirit. It's nothing secret. It's nothing mystical. It's something we all have access to. And it's so profoundly powerful. I want you to think back to a moment in your life so far. When did you feel closest to God? Or maybe when were times in your life in which you grew the most spiritually? And I bet you that one, if not all of these gas stations were present during that time. That the time in which you grew the most, it was a time of prayer. It was a time of fellowship. It was a time of God's word being heard and believed. And probably it was a time in which you were outside somewhere, perhaps. And so I bet you one, if not all of those, were very present in your instance where you grew, where you were drawn closer to God. Now, in addition to that, I want us to reflect for a moment, if you will. Have you ever gone through days or weeks or months or maybe years in which you didn't read your Bible or you didn't pray or you weren't part of God's people or you were stuck in a box working somewhere for a long time? Can you recall seasons of your life in which you were not filled with the Spirit, where you went through times where those things were not being a part of your life? I know there are parts of my life that were pretty dry like that. I don't ever want to go back to that. Some of you might be there right now where you're recognizing, I'm running on fumes. I can't remember the last time that I really listened to God's word, where I actually prayed to him and listened to him, or where I actually had a community of God's people that were my family, or a time where I just went outside and just was in his creation, appreciated what he's done. All these things are readily available right now. And I hope that you see that as something tremendously hopeful. You might not have read your Bible for the last 20 years, but what's so cool about this is that all of us are 5 seconds away from being more filled with the Spirit than we've ever been before. It doesn't work that way where, oh, I was away for 20 years, now I need to be back for 20 years just to break even. Like, God's grace and God's growth doesn't work that way. If there's one thing I've learned about the Lord so far, it's that he loves to do a lot with a little. No matter how you look at it, whether it's a young kid standing up to a giant or a bunch of just people walking around a wall, or whether it's just a small family building a boat, this constant theme through scripture is that the Lord does a lot with a little when it's done out of faith. And when we can, out of faith, recognize, Lord, you've given us your Spirit. I want to be filled with your Spirit. Then be filled with his Spirit. Pray to him. Listen to his word. Be the people he's called you to be. Take a minute and just go outside and breathe the fresh air. See God's creation around you. And be filled with what he's constantly pouring into you. He never stops pouring his Spirit. It's just a matter of whether or not we want to step into it and be filled by it. He's not going to force it on you. He's not going to cram it down your throats. But it's readily available to all of us at all times. The shop's never closed. Like, the doors are always open. And it's a never-ending fountain of grace. As Christians, that's the advantage we have through Christ that he's given us, is this unending, unyielding, eternal connection to God. And it starts now. It started 2,000 years ago with Pentecost. So I want us to go to Acts chapter 2. And I want us to take a look at the snapshot of basically day one of the church and how, again, unstoppable it seemed, and I hope you'll be able to see now clearly these gas stations woven through the great growth of the church throughout history. So in Acts chapter 2, 42 and 43, thousands of people just became Christians listening to the first sermon by Peter. And they devoted themselves, the Christians, to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. Do you see the gas stations there? The apostles' teachings, which is scripture, the fellowship, not just hanging out with anybody, but the fellowship of the of Christians, it's the church, the breaking of the bread, this communion we just did with this remembrance of Christ, it's through Christ that all this is possible. It's by Christ the Spirit is sent to us. And then the prayers, this access to God, this communication to God without the need of a physical temple, that the church has complete access to the Spirit. And this church here in Acts 2 is a Spirit-filled church. And this second part of this passage, I love this, and this is something I hope that we desire, that awe came upon every soul. And then wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. The awe this church was experiencing was not because the apostles were performing miracles. The awe that was happening was because they were a Spirit-filled people. They were now people that had access to God, the prayers to God. That they were now had a people and a community and a fellowship. They now had a Savior. And that is awe-inspiring. You know, sometimes if we've been part of church for a while, there's a certain casualness and over-familiarity with spiritual things that it's so important to take a step back and just recognize, what are we doing? And what a beyond amazing reality we live in, which you and me, as mostly flesh and blood, are able to talk to, be heard by, and follow, and be loved by the Almighty God of the universe. You get to talk to Him, and not only does He just process your things being said, He has His attention towards you. He cares about you. He has a place prepared for you. He has died for you. He's given you His word. Like, those things are not just nice. That's real. And anytime we take a step back and just think for a second about what's actually real that Christ has done, I don't see how you can't just be in awe. I think of what Jesus talks about, like, when the Pharisees were challenging Him about when He forgives somebody's sins, and then he heals this man's withered arm, and He tells him, like, what's greater, to forgive this person's sins or to heal this guy's arm? And that forgiving sins is the bigger deal. He tells the apostles, you know, greater things you're going to do than what I've done. And you think about the miracles Jesus performed, and He raised people from the dead, He calmed the storm, and He fed thousands of people. How did the apostles do greater things than Jesus? It doesn't really seem like it. Well, if you understand what Jesus is talking about, then it's very, very true, because being able to calm a storm, raise the dead, heal people's bodies, that's pretty amazing. Having right standing with God and God Himself living within you and having an eternal life with the Lord forever, that's infinitely greater than calming a storm. It's been raining a lot outside. If I just, like, hang on, guys, let me fix this. I went outside and was like, peace! And calmed all the storm, and it was just like blue skies for the next 2 months. That would be cool. What's way more cool? Having the Holy Spirit living within you and going to be with God forever. That's greater than supernaturally reshaping things around us. And that's what Jesus died to provide for us. And that's what you have access to. And that's real. That's not just, like, interesting. So, in conclusion, be filled with the Spirit. I want to read to you Romans 15:13 to sum up this lesson. May the God of hope fill you with all, not some, all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Some of you are Christians, some of you are not. Some of you are new Christians, some of you have been Christians for almost a century. Don't leave here today without being a Spirit-filled person. God has given you His Spirit. It came at Him at the price of Him physically leaving this earth. Spiritually, He's still here with us, and He's with us through His own Spirit. And it's being poured out constantly, constantly, this waterfall from heaven coming down onto earth. And we can have our buckets up turned upside down, or we can have them turned right side up and be totally filled and let this our cups overflow and spill out into our families, into this community. And there's a lot of things that are important, but there's nothing more important than being filled with the Spirit. So before we do anything, before you try to figure out what to do with your families, before you try to figure out your next thing to do with your career, before you try to figure out what to do with this country or COVID or health or anything else in your life, be a Spirit-filled person. Let that be the first thing to get sorted in your life, and let the Lord do that sorting for you. He's given you this, but you don't have to earn it. You don't have to look to and earn this and to receive this thing that He's freely pouring out. You're 5 seconds away from being more filled with the Spirit than you've ever been before. And you can just, it's just a matter of just letting it fill you. Open yourself up in prayer. Open up yourself to the Word. Open yourself up to the church, which is way more than just being here Sunday morning. It's being a community and a people. It's being together and connected, not just occupying the same room for a little bit. Y'all know that. Take some time to be in God's creation instead of just looking at what man's made. He's a lot more interesting than we are. Okay. Don't leave here without being filled with the Spirit. If you have not become a Christian yet and you want to be added to the body, you want to be receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit and have your sins washed away, that's what baptism is, the starting point of this Spirit-filled journey. And then if you need help in any way that we can bless you with, please let us know, whether either while we're singing this next song or talk to somebody here. And most importantly, don't leave here not filled with what God's provided for you. So with that in mind, let's stand and sing this next song.